last week. Millie, you want to share? Okay. You're waving your hands. Don't want to ignore you. What do you have for our microphone? No? Okay, just come on up. Oh, Dave's grabbing one here. Hallelujah. Praise God. There we go. All righty. So tell us what happened. Now, this one was one of the ones. I'll just repeat for you guys that weren't here. To try to sense one leading of the Holy Spirit, just sort of an inner leading, not a word yet, but just a leading, a pull, maybe eye contact. We talked about Spirit-led witnessing last week towards somebody. Okay. The other one was having a prayer for somebody or praying while praying for somebody, believing God for a word of knowledge. And then while sharing the gospel with somebody, believing for a word of knowledge as well. Okay, so tell us what happened.
On Thursday, I went to a funeral, and the woman that was a relative of my sister's. Anyway, as I was leaving, she kind of stood up, and it was just like, oh, I had that pull. Yeah. I had to say something and just to embrace her. So I went up there, embraced her, and I just said a little bit of word, and she just said, you know, I just kind of feel weak in that. So I said, well, come here, dear. So I gave her a hug. And I began to pray for her, that God would give her the strength and everything else. And then I said, Father, as she sleeps, I ask that you would just come and put your arms of love around her. She goes, she just backed off. She said, you talked to your sister, didn't you? I said, no. She was just in awe. You talked to your sister. I said, no. She said, because she couldn't, you know, after losing her husband, she could not sleep. And she had then cried out to God and said, Father, come and put your arms of love around me.
Wow.
And she felt the presence of God come and then go to sleep. But what was so neat is, as I was getting ready and getting the card ready and getting ready, and at the last minute, I felt to write something. So I began writing that God is faithful and true, and that as we draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto us. And as we put our faith, anyway, it was all about, you know, about, again, I said the arms of love in that message. So she got it twice.
Oh, amen. Yeah. All right, now, tell us, so you're praying for her, and did you hear the words, you know, wrap, you know, the Father's arms wrapped around her at night, or did you just kind of know that it was there?
It's just there. A lot of times when I'm out doing, I say things that it just comes so natural.
Right. Now, remember the word of knowledge does not pass through your intellect, okay? It's not where you ask the Lord a question and you hear a response. It's not the gift of prophecy where you hear a download. It's just there. You know it, and it's just part of you, because it literally gets dropped into your spirit. It gets breathed right into your spirit. So instead of, you know, we say someone's, you know, they read my mail, she prayed her mail. I mean, she had a word of knowledge, but she prayed it instead of saying it. But very powerful. Amen?
Yes, and the message as well as sharing it.
Twice,
again, she just kind of, whoa, you lit talking to your sister. I mean, it was so cool.
You've been talking to the pastor. Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, do you feel bolder now to do more of that, I would guess?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole point is once you go, hey, I can hear God. I mean, that was a word from God for her. That'll probably change her life for a good long time, if not forever, you know? I mean, one word from God will just literally change people's lives forever. Anybody else want to share? Anybody else? Don't be shy. Dave? Hallelujah.
So I usually go to coffee shops to do work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was like, okay, God, should I go to this place or this other place? And he told me to go to this particular place. And I asked him, well, why do you want me to go there? And he says, well, I have a guy that I want you to encourage.
Okay. See, remember, what did he do? He asked why. He asked the second question. Number one, to get clarity on who's talking to him and to have a purpose there. See? Awesome.
I get there, and I sit down, settle down, and preparing to do some of my work, and a guy walks in, our eyes lock, he goes and gets a drink, comes back to Dr.
So you had good eye contact?
Yeah, good eye contact. Okay. We said hi, and we started talking.
You didn't know this guy?
No. Okay. And turns out this gentleman has been looking to go back into the ministry. He was a pastor.
Wow.
And he's been having a hard time finding people to pray with him. and join them in praying. And so we're going to be praying next Saturday together. We prayed that day, and we talked for like 2 or 3 hours probably.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
And I told him a little bit about this, and he was like, wow. So.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's great. That's great. You know, it's okay just to simply ask God. Like last night I had a witnessing encounter, and I'm driving, and I said, you know, I needed to go to Walgreens, and I said, Lord, do you have anything in here for me? You know, and he said, yeah, I have someone there I want you to witness to. Well, that just immediately sets me up full of faith, and now I'm really looking. Now I'm not only just kind of casually got my radar up. Radar is up. Man, we are looking for that divine appointment, and I'll tell you about it later. I had an awesome time. Anybody else want to share some encounters you had this last week? They don't have to be super dupers, just a little something, God moments. Yeah? No? Okay. Yeah? You're kind of half... You know, we'll find out together.
Because I don't go out in the cold that much, so I didn't get out that much.
Okay.
But I was in the house, and it was like the Lord said, give me a person that they might call.
And he said what again?
There was a person named that he gave me that should be calling.
Okay, so he told you the name of somebody that was going to call.
And they usually don't call, you know. And so I kind of waited, and then he was giving me information like, if they do call, you invite them over.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so then what happened with that is I kind of forgot about it, and then I was felt like I was led to go down the basement. And there was some exercise equipment, but it was just like for a certain amount of time. It was just like all of a sudden it was down there, and all of a sudden it was just like that was enough. Mm-hmm. And so I got back up, and then I noticed that on the answer machine it was just playing, and that person had left a message.
Uh-huh.
And then it ended up to be that person.
Uh-huh.
And then I called back and, you know, kind of explained that I believed, you know, would you like to come over? And yes. And he had told me it was about being a listener for that person. Mm. And that's what it ended up being when they came over, is to listen.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that with this experience, you heard a voice stream. You heard a sentence or a phrase.
Right.
Right. That's the mark of a prophecy. Okay. It's not happening now or past tense. It's what will happen in the future.
Right. That
okay.
Yes.
And it's not an impression or something you just know. It's she heard a very definite voice. You know, so-and-so is going to call you. Okay? Great. And, of course, the proof is in the pudding, you know, and it happened.
Yes.
So you heard the Lord. Now, when she heard, I just want you to listen to it, or just was it just to pray? Or what did he say after? He said, I just want this person you would listen to her or him?
Right. And then we had discussion and prayer about stuff, but I didn't want to share.
Right, but he gave you an instruction. He gave you a word of wisdom. When this person calls, he said...
Oh, yes, to invite them over. It wasn't
invite
about,
them over,
yeah,
okay.
It wasn't about doing a phone conversation. That
yep.
It wasn't about that, and we have done that before, but it was just like to specifically ask that person to come over.
Okay.
And yeah.
Good, excellent. Now, most times, vocal gifts or revelatory gifts function together. So many times, you'll get a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, or a word of prophecy and a word of wisdom. So what part was the word of wisdom for her? Invite him over, right? Okay, that was God's divine wisdom. She might have thought, oh, I'm just going to talk on the phone with him. Well, that wouldn't have been the right setting. And then this person, you know, you got to listen to them and minister to them. So we had a word of prophecy and a word of wisdom flow together. Amen? That's awesome. Yeah, somebody else had their hand up. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Pardon me? The dynamic duo. You're scared?
Yeah.
Don't be scared. We love you.
I know.
You're family. You're our sister, okay?
This morning,
will not reject you. You cannot fail.
This was not a word for a person, but for the people here this morning, and I've never had that before.
Oh, at Living Waters
yeah.
at church?
Okay. And we had a really, really, like a divine appointment with the Lord this morning. The house was filled with his presence even
yeah.
when we walked in. You
yeah,
know,
I sensed that when before. I walked in.
Anyway, I had like a flash, and it said, a word, and I didn't know it was for me. I knew it was for somebody, and I said, well, why don't they get up, you know? and then...
Because it's for you.
yeah. And then we had our worship was focused on Jesus and how he is the Lord, and it was completely focused on the Lord and how divine he is and how wonderful he is and how magnificent he is, and my word was just... really simple. It was everything everybody knows, you know. It was, I am Jesus Christ. I am Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. That was about what it was. I wrote it down afterwards. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
But never dismiss that as being simple, because when the anointing's there, it has a lot of impact.
I didn't give it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
I was scared to.
That's all right.
And then after this, I prayed about it, but everybody, and then all the other prophecies started to come in, and it was all focused on the same thing. So it was really, it was so good for me, because it told me that it wasn't me. Yeah. It was the Lord talking
okay,
to me.
Okay, so come on up here. All right. Hallelujah. Because the anointing's still on it, because I can feel the anointing on it. Okay. So I want you to take a minute. Just take a minute. Come right over here. Get under that angelic presence. Oh, there we go. Okay, now I just want you to just take a minute with the Lord. Okay? And we're all just going to enjoy, just be focused on the Lord right now in His presence. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when you're ready, I just want you to share, to say it, just release it out into the atmosphere. Just release what the Lord put you in your heart this morning or whatever else He gives you right now.
He said, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Lion of Judah.
There's more. Go ahead.
I sit on the throne. I saw him. I saw him sitting on the throne.
Wow.
I saw.
Tell us about it.
It was magnificent. That's the only word I can think of for it. I don't have words for it.
Can you see it now in your spirit?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about it.
It was like he was sitting there, and it was like a high chair like you see in kids' stuff, you know, for the throne, you know.
Yeah.
And his glory was all around. His glory was just, it was wonderful.
What does glory look like?
Light.
Amen.
Light.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So just close your eyes. Let's just receive that. Lord, we just receive the impartation of your glory, your majesty, your preeminence. Lord God, your excellence, that you rule and reign, that you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Father. Hallelujah. That you sit on the throne. And Jesus, we acknowledge you as on the throne of our hearts right now. We let Jesus be on the throne of our hearts. I think that's the message. That Jesus is on the throne of our hearts. We enthrone you, O God. Lord, we declare that you're the Lord of our hearts.
Yes.
You are the King of our hearts. You are the director and the ruler. Hallelujah. You are the sovereign over our will and our intentions, our motives, Lord God. We just declare that, we just agree that you're here to say that you are Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. See, that didn't hurt.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that good?
Uh-huh.
You're beaming.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give her a hand. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never dismiss stuff. Remember what I told you. There's no such thing as random information. Everything has a source. Amen. Anybody else? All righty. Somebody else that's changed since the first time I saw you. Hallelujah. Okay, that's all right.
Okay, so
well, like the Lord said, tonight was a good testimony night. So,
okay, so 2 weeks ago when I was here, and the word harp, and it didn't mean anything to me.
Yep. Yeah, now let me just take you back. So we had everybody practice the word of knowledge, or just hearing something from the Lord, and she got the word harp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she's like, "What the? You know, I don't know what that means."
And then it was strings. And then I was like, okay, heartstrings, I felt, mm-hmm. just that way. So then I just really been trying to work and open myself up. And I came to church this morning, and it really was just presence. And Judy got up and started talking about harp and the strings and being broken. And I sat and just wept. I was just like, oh, wow, that's what it was all about. And, it was just so
personal.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
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 And for you, that's important.
Yeah.
You need to know that God's personal to you.
And then it went on. And then in Dave, when he was giving his talking, then he started talking about the heartstrings. And it was like, okay, it was just all these words. And it was like, mm-hmm. yeah. And then I got prayer from Judy, and it was like, I went home and just felt like, yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
You felt special.
I did.
Because that's the message the Lord wants you to get, to heal some of the wounds from your past. Amen? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
What an amazingly personal God we serve. Amen? You know, if the world could just get this and see, we wouldn't be able to contain the flocks to our churches. Right? So my passion and motive is to get you to take what we get. You know, if we could just bottle up this morning's presence, right? I mean, I wasn't here, but when I walked in the building, the Lord told me there was a special presence here this morning. So if we could just bottle this and just go, you know, somehow with, you know, I don't know if he's like, just, you know, here, you know, give me a shot or something. But that's when I kind of jokingly say, but I'm not joking, that Jesus is in you and he wants out. Okay, so evangelism is not winning an argument, although you might get in discussions. Evangelism is introducing people to a person. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. You know, that's how I got saved. The guy came up and said, do you know the Lord? Do you know him? Well, let me tell you about, you know, our testimony, you know. And, you know, in 30 seconds, you can tell somebody, hey, this is the greatest thing. Do you have a 30 seconds? I want to tell you, you know, maybe ask him, what's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Well, I had a baby or something, or got a great job, or, you know, whatever, got married or something. So can I, and you, again, I ask permission. May I tell you the best thing that's ever happened in my life? And in 30 seconds, I've done this so many times, you can tell them my life before Jesus, my life now, you know, and what my life is, we expect in the future. Not only heaven, but just really what God continues to do for us. We have, every one of you here in this room, have an awesome testimony, okay? One of the best testimonies is, I used to love sin and try to find ways to sin. I mean, I was excited about finding ways to sin. Now I'm trying to find ways not to sin. What in the world happened, right? You know, as a young red-blooded male, I mean, you know, I'm all of a sudden, you know, chasing girls. Now I'm running away from girls kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like C.S. Lewis said this, a great comment. He said, no man would write the Bible if he could, and no man could write the Bible if he would. Right? What guy would write a Bible that says, you know, if you look at a person lustful, you've committed adultery. Or if you lie, you're going to hell. Or, I mean, you know, the Ten Commandments, who would have come up with that? Certainly man would not have invented that. Now, man might have invented a book that says if you kill an infidel, you go to heaven and have 72 virgins with you. That is something I think a man would have come up with. That's a tenet of Islam, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. So, you know, and to murder, to destroy your enemies and cut their heads off and, you know, all that. So, really, this is a radical, awesome message that we get to have. And never underestimate your testimony, what God's done last week, last month, 10 years ago. It's powerful, okay? Amen. Anybody else as far as now, whether you felt a leading to somebody, or maybe you prayed for somebody and you felt like God gave you something in prayer? Anybody have that experience where you're praying for somebody and you heard God in that prayer? Anybody want to share anything? Okay. No? Yes? Okay. How about anybody felt like you, did anybody present the gospel to anybody last week? Did anybody encounter someone and share the gospel with them? Okay. No? Okay. All right. Next week, we want to change that. Your assignment this week is to encounter someone. Now, when I say share the gospel, I'm not talking about giving a sermon. I'm just talking about simply, remember my three-second gospel presentation? Who knows what it is? Anybody remember? 3 seconds. God's holy. You're not. Jesus died to make you holy. Really hard. But people get that. They know when I say, you know, you're not holy, they go, yeah, I know I'm not holy. I say, well, God is. How are you going to live with a holy God? Well, I'll try to do really good. Well, yeah, good compared to what? You know, Adolf Hitler or Mary Poppins or, you know. I mean, what's good, right? So really, the gospel is an easy thing. You know, you can say Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That works. It just depends where that person is at. But I want to, again, remind you now, I think we've got here, if you guys can help me pass this out, Dave. I created just a one-page sheet for you so that you can have little highlights or reminders, give you guys here. And this can be just a little reference thing. If you want to go ahead, would you? Thank you so much. Just hand those out. But that's kind of, this little sheet is just a, in fact, if you got an extra one for me, Dave, this is kind of a very quick overview. And, you know, when Bob and Pastor Dave mentioned about this class, he didn't necessarily say that I'll give you homework assignments, but I really want for you guys this next week to really make it your plan or purpose to share the gospel with someone that, you know, with a stranger or someone that's, someone you know, but they're just maybe a little backslidden or they're just not, you know, right with the Lord. It doesn't have to be a sinner. But coming to someone and saying, hey, look, I believe this is what the Bible says about where you're at, and let's see if we can help you get a little farther down the road. Did you have something you wanted to? Yeah, okay, great. Hallelujah. Make sure. If there's not enough sheets, would you guys let me know? We have need some here. Are we out? Okay, I don't know if you can make some more. Okay.
About a week ago, I asked the Lord to put a guy on my heart there and was up. Oh.
So the Lord put someone on your heart?
Put somebody on my heart. And like, I did what you did, you ask. And
what did you ask?
I asked, you know, show me the witness to somebody today.
Oh, okay.
And it was a coworker. And for me, being in a management position, I'm a little skittish about it because it gets a little tricky.
Yep.
But, well, we do maintenance work, and we happen to drive a long ways. And matter of fact, a coworker brought it up, and I was able to talk to him about it.
Okay.
Which is like an open door.
Okay, so tell us what he said. Tell us. See, I think for most of us, the struggle is starting the conversation. Getting to the gospel conversation. How do you go from, you know, the Vikings and the weather to Jesus, right? Isn't that the struggle?
Well, somehow we got talking, and he was talking about his wife. They're Catholic, and he was saying, you know, I hate religion. I go, you know what? I do too.
Yeah?
And I start talking about the focus is having a relationship with Christ. And I start telling him about our church. And he says he might come sometime. He says it sounds very interesting and very unique.
And that's where you left it?
That's where we left it.
Okay. Now, what if someone says they're interested in coming to your church, what's the first thing you should say? What's your address? I'll come pick you up. Because the enemy will do everything they can to make that not work. So we need to make the initiative. There was a recent survey done where 50% of people surveyed said that they would go to a church if they were invited. That's one out of two. 50% of the people surveyed by Gallup, it was a Gallup poll, said they would go to church because they thought their life lacked something spiritually. I mean, that's huge, you guys. That's like someone waving a red flag and saying, come get me, here I am, right? Now, a lot of times you think, oh, our church, we're kind of a crazy charismatic church. We can't invite people to our church. I mean, you know, I've been down that road, you know. Let me give you a testimony. So, some people I led to the Lord. I was preaching at a church here in the Twin Cities, and I was teaching on evangelism, actually. And my wife, Susan, had invited some old high school friends who were Catholics to the service. And at this time, this church, they had this couple that were in their 50s that would do this kind of strange ballet sort of dancing thing, worship sort of deal. I don't know what it was, really. And they didn't wear like dance costumes, and they had ballet slippers on, and it was different, okay? It was, and then they had the flags, and you know, it was a full charismatic hallelujah service. And me being not fully free from the fear of man, sort of, I said, Lord, please, Lord, these guys are here, please let the service be toned down. Well, you know what happened? It was off the charts, you know. I mean, they had all the flags, they had all the dance, it was just nuts. And I'm just going, oh, Lord God, you know, I was just praying for this couple. So I got up, and I taught on evangelism, and I preached, and I gave an altar call, you know, kind of like this kind of service, but I gave an altar call. Guess who the first two people were to raise their hands? Our friends, our Catholic, dried up, you know, totally unsaved kind of religious friends. And they give their hearts to the Lord, and they're serving God this day, filled with the Holy Spirit. I baptized them, got them in a good church. They live out of town. And I asked them, I said, okay, now let me just, pick your brain a little bit here. I said, didn't it kind of freak you out what was going on? I mean, really? And they go, well, it was sure different. But they said, but we knew it was sincere and we knew it was real. And, you know, they'd never seen anything like this. I mean, singing in tongues. I mean, they, you know. But here's the thing. God had prepared them, right? And you might think this is crazy, but to someone that's heart's been prepared, because Susan had been praying for them, I mean, you could have done anything. You could have been swinging from the chandeliers, Holy Ghost rollers, whatever. If God's got them prepared, they're going to receive the word of the Lord. Amen? So don't. I'm just going to touch on this really quickly. There's a whole movement of you know, the seeker movement where churches are doing their best. Now, I know Living Waters is not, that's not your MO. I mean, you're just, Jesus, here we are, and, you know. But some of you are not from Living Waters. But let me just say this. In the body of Christ, there's a movement to really create an atmosphere where sinners are comfortable. Okay? Here's, I believe, the biblical model, is that you and I, as Christians, throughout the week, are seasoning people week in, week out, talking about God a little bit here, a little bit there, getting them ready, people we work with, people we live next to, people that are in our family, you know, friends, etc. And at some point, no matter how charismatic your church is, as you've kind of watered their heart, you can invite them to a service and they're going to come out and they're going to be like, you know what, I've heard your testimonies, I've seen God work in your life, you've prayed for my kids, man, I want what you got. And you can bring them to the most radical service and it won't matter. See, we've got, if we do our work during the week, we don't need to worry about our service being just right for the non-Christian, right? We get the water, we water them, we get their heart ready throughout the week, praying for them, sharing little bits of God stuff, you know, seasoning your conversation with a little bit of grace and salt and Jesus in there. And man, when you invite them, they're just like, man, I want this. You know, how do I get saved? You know, kind of thing. But the hard part is you get someone that's kind of warmed up. You invite them to a crazy service, and yeah, it's a little bit out of their comfort zone, and they might not come back for a year or two. You know what I'm saying? So our job is to kind of keep, you know how, anybody here in sales, any salespeople here? No? Okay, well, yeah, you guys are in sales, sure. But you got to keep your pipeline full, don't you? You can't make a sale then go, well, okay, everything, my whole week has been on this one sale, and now I got nothing for the next 6 months. You've got to, some people are going to buy now. Some people are going to buy next week. Some people buy next year. Some people buy in 3 years. Right, Ken? You? Yeah, 25. Guess what? Every one of you should have a witnessing pipeline. With his, you know, friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, and then strangers. So let me give an example. So last night, I went to Walgreens, and the Lord said, there's someone here I want you to witness to. So I go to this Walgreens all the time. I go to the same Cub food store. I go to the same gas station. Unfortunately, I don't live close to Baudry Oil, so I'm, you know. And probably most of your employees are saved, right, Ken? But anyway, so I go in there, and this gal's waiting on me, and she's got all kinds of tattoos. Now, tattoos are a phenomenal witnessing tool. Phenomenal. Most of them, I would say 90% of tattoos I've seen are either highly personal to them or spiritual in nature. Probably 90% got a cross on them somewhere. I mean, I have rarely seen someone that's got, I mean, someone that's in it, not the one gal that's got the little thing down. I'm talking people who got a lot of tattoos. Somewhere, they probably got a cross on them. I mean, and summertime with tattoos is, well, it's a little gross sometimes, but you know. but sometimes, you know, there's usually a cross. And if I see a cross, I go, oh, you got a beautiful cross there. Always compliment them. I go, are you a Christian? Right? Opens the door right up. See? I say, well, oh, really? When did you? Right. Well, I've had that happen. Yeah, many times. Had a guy, in fact, a guy at a gas station at Cub Foods by where I live, had a big, huge cross on. I mean, like, big cross. I said, oh, it's a great cross. You must be a Christian. He goes, well, yeah. I go, where do you go to church? He goes, well, I don't really go to church. I go, well, when did you get born again? He goes, well, what's that? So I explained about being born again. And he goes, well, he was a Native American. He said, my dad, I brought me to church one time, so I guess I was a Christian. He thought he was a Christian. Really sincere, very sincere guy. Wasn't being a smart aleck. Just he goes, well, I went to church and maybe got baptized or something. And he thought he was a Christian, so I shared the gospel with him. And unfortunately, he didn't stay there. But anyway, let me get back to so the gal has got 1 Corinthians 13:8-9 tattooed on her arm. You know, love is patient, love is kind. And I go, wow, that's really great. I said, you must read the Bible. See? So you just, you can, there's so many things you can say. And she had love on one hand, hate on the other. You know, and she go, and I said, well, that's interesting, love and hate. So anyway, the point is I had a nice conversation with her, got to present the gospel to her. Obviously, I had a lot to work with there, didn't I? I mean, you got scripture on them, if they got a cross. But I always ask them, because they love to tell you their story about their tattoos. Trust me, they do. That's why they want you to see them. And they're very personal. Those tattoos will tell you all. You don't need a word of knowledge. You just read their tattoos. It'll tell you all about their life. You know, I used to really think what a terrible thing the world's gone into tattoos, but I thought, wow, this is really makes evangelism a lot easier. This is great, you know? So anyway, she explained about love and hate. She goes, well, you can't have one without the other. I said, well, you know, that's interesting because the Bible says that God is love, yet he hates sin. And a lot of people don't think about God hating sin. I said, but God loves you, but he hates your sin. Doesn't he have, he has a dilemma, doesn't he? She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, he loves you so much, he wants you to be his daughter, but he hates the sin that's in your life. So I said, how are you going to get rid of your sin so God, you can enjoy God's love? She goes, well, I don't know. Sister, we had a wonderful, we didn't get to, there's a guy behind me, so I didn't have time to pray with her. But her name is Victoria, and let me tell you, I almost started crying when I left that Walgreens. I've been a little, you know, I started crying last week when I was here. I've been a little weepy lately. But I have a burden for her, and I'm going to go back. See, it's one thing, so when you share your gospel, you know, you talked about God with people, don't stay on that. Stay with it. You know, continue to say, hey, you know, you said you might want to come to church, you know, next Sunday, I'll pick you up, you know, 9 o'clock, boom, you know, just follow through, you guys. If you have an encounter with somebody, follow through, whether it's a stranger, because that stranger could turn into a friend or a brother or a sister, right? Somehow you got into this thing. Somebody befriended you, right? Aren't you glad? So I'm gonna be praying for Victoria. I'm gonna bring her a Bible and a track. I'm gonna invite her to church. You better believe it. I mean, every time my wife goes in, I say, why don't you look for Victoria? She's easy to spot. She's got tattoos all over her arm. See? Amen. That makes sense? Okay. Turn in your Bibles to how many were not here last week? Raise your hand. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah, we had a. I didn't think anybody'd be here tonight, but we had, it was cold and snowy last week. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna have a. I do drink in public, so I'm gonna have a quick swig here. I just want to revisit. I felt the Lord in prayer today, said to revisit. I would make John chapter 4. I would make John chapter 4 your model for evangelism, or as I call it, prophetic evangelism. John chapter 4. We went over it last week, okay? How many, who can tell me one of the ways to recognize a word of knowledge? Don't be shy. Yes? No, you're on it. You're there. Yes, if it drops in, keyword drops in, okay? Here's how I say it. A word of knowledge always comes on the outside of the flow of your conversation, okay? And all, so you're talking about, you know, soybeans, and you get the word train tracks or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, you're talking to somebody, you get the word mother. It's not something you hear, it's something you know. It's more here than here, okay? Physically in your body, it's more here than here. When I talk to God, because it passes through the brain, people say, oh, I heard that in my head. Well, it's actually your spirit, but it seems more like your head. So that's one way to know. In John 4, Jesus is talking to this woman for 7 verses about water. And all of a sudden, completely out of nowhere, he says, go call your husband. Now, you know, I've had that experience hundreds and hundreds of times. When I'm talking to people, I'll get something out of nowhere. But of course, I know now, after years of doing this, it's not out of nowhere. I know that somebody's trying to get my attention. So the second mark of the word of knowledge is God's trying to get your attention so he can get their attention. I'll say this again. God's trying to get your attention with something out of the context of the conversation so he can get their attention. Where we mostly miss it is we dismiss that little word. That's the sticker. That's where everybody goes, oh, that was sort of like a fly on the head. Oh, that was interesting. Tell me, you know, and you're going on with your conversation instead of going, whoa, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Probably the Lord. Remember what you said, word of knowledge can be a body part, could be a sickness or disease, could be a name of somebody, okay? Could be a condition, could be a fear, different things. Many times I'll get like mother or brother or father. I've told you about the example with the kid at the mall. In fact, I don't know if I shared this one. I was down riding my bike. I'd been out doing a whole lot of ministry, and I was really tired. I didn't want to talk to anybody, so I went out and went bike riding down by the river. And I'm riding my bike. And have you heard this before? You know this one? Yeah, you know, like this, I preached all day. We had a conference I did. Preached all night Friday night, all day Saturday, like 8 hours. So, you know, like today, I didn't want to talk to anybody, right? But anyway, I'm riding my bike, and I got my biking shorts on, which means I don't want to be seen by anybody in public. You know what I'm saying? I got my racing shorts on. Those are to be worn in away from people, right? So I'm riding my bike, and I get down, and I stop by the river. I'm all by myself. I'm looking at the sunset, and I'm just having a great old time. And this guy pulls up in this truck, and he's probably 60, 65 years old. He's got some overalls on, a farmer's hat. He's got his pickup. And he's about from me to this. Tell me your first name again.
Sherry.
So he's about from me to Sherry. And I do not want to talk to him. And now remember, one of the signs that somebody's open is they engage you, right? Okay? Like your guy here, right? Or your guy here, he brings up the subject. I hate religion. Warning, open person. Evangelism about to take place, right? So he goes, oh, isn't it a beautiful sunset? And I went, yeah. I said, no, Lord, I'm not doing this. I knew the sign, stranger, talks to me, addresses me, looks at me. No, I am not doing this, God. I do not want to minister to anybody. I just spent 4 days out of town. So he goes, whoa, he says this. He goes, man, something about there's really a beautiful sunset in here, how creation is just reflects, you know, the beauty of God or something like that. I can't remember. It was a while back. And I'm going, okay, all right. So then I said something like, yeah, God really knows how to paint a sunset. And as soon as I said that out of my mouth, as soon as I decided to engage and cooperate, God gave me a download. And that's very key. If you want to be prophetic in evangelism, you want God to give you stuff, you've got to say, okay, all right, my agenda, we're going to tear it up. Okay? So I turned to him. As I turned to him, I heard the word wife. And I said, tell me about your wife. And as soon as I said that, I heard she died of cancer, and it was a long battle. I said, she died of cancer. It was a long battle, wasn't it? He goes, oh, my gosh. How did you know that? I said, well, the Lord just spoke that to me. And he goes, yeah. And he started getting a little bit teary-eyed. And then I had another download from the Holy Spirit, and I said, you know, I believe, now I'm not talking to dead people. Don't get weird on me. I said, I believe if she was here right now, she would say she's proud of you for going on without her, not quitting in life. And, of course, then he starts bawling, and then I start bawling. And then, you know, we're just sitting there, two guys sobbing. And I started hugging him, and I just was holding him. I mean, here's a 65-year-old guy, stranger, you know, hugging a guy in bike shorts on the river. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's either God or just, you know, who knows. So, but it was awesome. God opened his heart. I got to pray for him. Lord, just bless him, whatever. And it was just a divine encounter. Amen? I rode away. And a religious demon jumped right on my back. And the thought occurred to me, it was a voice. I didn't lead him in a prayer of salvation. That's a religious demon. And the Lord said to me, as clear as I'm talking to you, he said, son, I love it when he calls me son. He said, son, when you minister to people like that, you don't need to worry about a prayer of salvation. Amen? So I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. But it's just, you know, here I was. And out of nowhere comes the word wife, okay? Out of nowhere. I wasn't talking to him about his wife. I wasn't thinking about my wife or his wife. It's just there. That's the sign. That's the hello, McFly. You know, you want to pay attention to that and go, oh, most of us would dismiss that. Because it was just a word. That's why it's called a word of knowledge, not a paragraph of knowledge. It's just a word. But if you live in a state of being sensitive and going, okay, all right, at any moment, at any time, no matter where I am, I'm looking at somebody at a coffee shop, I make eye contact, and God says, yeah, him. Okay, great. Then you decide to obey, and God goes, bam, he'll give you the rest of the story. He opens that door wide open, blows open by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. That's what we're looking for. That's what makes evangelism fun, exciting, and awesome. Now, as Hebrews says in Hebrews 5:14, I don't know if you can throw that up there. The thing I want to encourage you guys in is that it does take practice. Okay? And the best thing to do when you have, especially a church like a Living Waters where you have freedom, is to pray for one another and expect as you pray for someone, like, you know, you guys had been doing and testifying, you're going to hear something. Pray it out and see if it's God. We did that exercise last week and the week before. But Hebrews 5:14 says this, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses. Everybody say senses. That's the word ergonometron in the Greek. Anybody ever heard of it, like an ergonomic chair? You know, ergonomics? It's like your environment. It's, you know, you can have an ergonomic environment, you know, like offices and desks. So let me reread this to you. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have trained themselves to their environment to discern good and evil. You see that? Train their senses or their environment. In other words, they know their environment. They know what's happening, what's going on. Eye contact, word, someone talks to you, someone looks at you. Okay, remember the story I told you about the gal on the plane that, you know, we kept making eye contact and I gave her a track, she got saved, hallelujah. So it's very important that you understand the two concepts here, practice, everybody say practice, and senses or environment, ergonomics, okay? And you can get near somebody, literally, physically get around them, and you can know. I when I get around people, I know whether they're open or not. I just know. But if I'm not sure, I still ask. I still ask the Lord, do you want me to witness this person? He might say no, you see. But I want you to continue to practice asking. And I want you to, I want to say this. Feel free to make mistakes. Feel free to miss it. Feel free to start talking to somebody. Now, tell me your first name again. Cindy. Now, when Cindy first got that thing about HARP, she sort of went, right? Here's the thing. You might have someone get near you. You want to witness to them. You want to talk to them. You start sharing with them, and they don't seem very open. And you're thinking, what was that about, God? They were not open at all. Doesn't mean you missed it. And I want you to give yourself permission to miss it, though, okay? You've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to get this right. I'm going to practice asking God questions, listening for a word of knowledge, so that I will have my senses trained, my environment trained, so that I will get better at this. And this is really the best way to do evangelism. Because you're not trying to argue with people, because if they're not open, the Lord says, no, not him. Her over here, but not him, or whatever. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. Now, did everybody get one of these? Yes? Does anybody not have one? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Okay. Now, this is not at all comprehensive. I have a booklet that I'm out of right now that I wrote called Prophetic Evangelism. And it's a manual. It's about a 75-page manual. And it's very thorough in evangelism. A lot of which I've been teaching you these last three sessions. Next week is our last session together. Well, that's where you cry and say, oh. No, I'm kidding. I really enjoyed teaching this with you guys. It's really been awesome. You've been very absorbent. Okay. So I want to take just a few more minutes here before we do some break up and talk and pray a little bit. I want to just go over this sheet on a couple highlights for you. Okay. How many of you from the teaching that you've had here feel comfortable that with the concept that the voice, quote unquote, in your head is not your thoughts but your voice? How many get that? Okay. How many still are like, hey, you don't know? Okay. It's okay if you're still not sure. Okay. All right. I want to really get that point home for you, because here's what happens. When you pray and talk to God or ask God something and you hear something, you'll say, oh, that's my thoughts. That was just me. And you'll dismiss it. Okay. So the talking to the Lord and the word of knowledge can be dismissed if we don't practice it. And we don't know what a word of, I think you kind of got the word of knowledge, how it sounds, right? Comes out of nowhere, it's just a word. It's pretty obvious. I think the word of knowledge is easier. What's a little trickier, because this is such a new concept for me to say to you that that spirit voice is how God, it's the area where God speaks to you. He doesn't use your voice, but it's the same area. It's the same part of your being where he speaks to you. Okay, it comes through the same area. It comes, quote unquote, through the brain because you got to process it, so to speak. Okay, yes. No, no. I've never experienced that. The Lord's voice always sounds the same to me. Uh-huh. Now, obviously, with the Trinity, you can say, well, the Holy Spirit said. See, in Acts chapter 8, it's very interesting. Actually, turn there. Turn there one time. Turn to Acts chapter 8. It's a very interesting point here. Just kind of messed with your theology a little bit, unless you're a Hebrew, a Jew. Okay? Acts 8:25. Now, this is another example of great evangelism, okay? This is a man, Philip, who had trained his senses to be sensitive to the Lord, okay, to hear a word from the Lord and follow his direction. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but as he's walking about, God speaks to him. But look at what it says in the Scriptures, verse 25. Well, let me just say this. All right, let's go ahead and read this. So they, when they had solemnly testified and spoken to the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. Now they is Peter and John and Philip. Now Philip's at best a deacon, okay, out of Acts 6. Nobody knows for sure, but that's the theory. He's with the big guys, like the Billy Grahams of their day, okay? And there would be tremendous pressure to follow the big guys back to Jerusalem with this awesome report of the revival in Samaria. Wouldn't you think so? That's where you say yes? There would be. I mean, come on. You're with Peter and John. You know, Peter who walked on water, John who, you know, the revelator, right? Laid on the Lord's breast. And Philip, you know, has had a great revival down there, and I'm sure everybody went in Jerusalem, he'd love to tell them about that. But one of the ways, if you're not able to not follow the crowd, if you feel led to follow the crowd, you're going to be less led of the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways you really are going to be led by the Holy Spirit is if you're willing to go the opposite direction of all your Christian friends who want to go out and have dinner. And you know what? When I go out to eat a lot with Christians because I usually when I preach a service, I go out after dinner. And I eat a lot with Christians and pastors. You'd be amazed how many Christians do not witness at restaurants. But they're there all the time. I mean, we should have every waitress in America should be saved as much as we eat out as Christians, right? Come on. I mean, that's true. We fellowship around food. And I've given out literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tracts to Christians and witnessed. I've led waitresses to the Lord, lots of them. Amen? Now, you've got to be willing not to follow the crowd. If they're all want to talk about whatever, man, I'm tuned in on the waitress. Because they're all saved, man. They're going to heaven. They're fine. I'm going to get her saved or him. So Philip and John and Peter are going back to Jerusalem. But in verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit. Doesn't say the Father. Doesn't say Jesus. Says an angel of the Lord. Keep that in mind. And say, go up north, go up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. That is a desert road. Oh, great. Sounds fun. So he got up and went. The Lord spoke to him and he obeyed. I submit to you, that's why he had so many miracles and such a revival in Samaria. He wanted to obey the Holy Spirit. Or an angel of the Lord here, see? And there was an Ethiopian eunuch in the court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit, verse 29, spoke. Well, wait a minute. Was it an angel or was it the Spirit? So, you know, the bottom line is, it's God. It's God. And if you study the book of Hebrews, you look at the Old Testament, God would interchange himself with his authority with angels. It says the first covenant came through the mediation of angels. Angel of the Lord spoke. Now, a lot of people believe that was Jesus. But I just want you to know, but that's not my point. I just want you to know that, answer your question, that whether it's Holy Spirit, you know, how does God the Father sound versus the Holy Spirit? It all sounds the same to me. It's a man's voice, you know, okay? Now, to a woman, it's a woman's voice, right? You hear, God doesn't sound like a man when he talks to you. He sounds like you, right? Yeah, because that's what's familiar, okay? Now, I've had some people, only a few, maybe one every year or two, will say they kind of hear a man's voice. I don't know, was that kind of a man's voice? Okay, definitely a man's voice. How many women here, how many sisters, when God speaks to you, you hear a man's voice? Okay? Two, three, four? Okay. That's unusual. I've never had that many, but, you know, I'm okay with that. Most women I've talked to over the years teaching this say it sounds like them when God speaks to them. Either way, you know it's God, and you know it by the fruit, the character, and the motive of what you hear. You judge the word according to the word, right? So you know it's God. I'm not really so concerned about what it sounds like. What I don't want you to do is dismiss it as your own thoughts. That is what I'm focused on. Okay, I don't want to, you know, we don't need to worry about whether it sounds like a woman or a man. What I don't want you to do is when you're praying or when you ask the Lord a question or when you're walking along like Philip was and you hear a voice that says, go over to that person and talk to him. Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I thought it was just me. That's probably just my own thoughts. It's probably just me. I'm going, really? Do you say to yourself, go talk to that person over there, a stranger, very often? I don't think so. You know, and it's not the devil. It's, you see what I'm saying? But we have to train ourselves to think this way and to be open that, hey, God's going to tell me to go pray for this person. Amen? So Philip goes up there, and he ran. I love this. The Spirit said, go up and join this chair. And Philip ran, verse 30, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. You know the rest of the story. He led him to the Lord. Okay? He was reading the Bible. I mean, they talk about a setup. Wow. Talk about a divine appointment. You know, if you walk in a coffee shop, somebody's reading the Bible, you know, I would ask the Holy Spirit, do you want me to talk to him? But usually I'm going to say something like, oh, hey, I see you're reading a good book or something, you know. And it's always a good open door. But I want you to get to the point where anytime you hear a voice that's just telling you to minister to someone, that you don't dismiss it, okay? You can inquire when you hear, you know, if I would have been Philip and taught my class properly, I would have gone, Lord, why do you want me to go talk to that person in the chariot? Just to make sure I'm hearing God. Now, he probably was in a zone with the Lord in a pretty good way, didn't he do that? Maybe he did that. But if I hear an instruction from the Lord, I always want to kind of make sure, and I'll even ask God, what do you want me to say to them? Okay? Okay? Now, the woman, remember I told you about the gal Victoria at Walgreens? I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, if she's talking to me, now you can do this. She's talking to me, telling me all about her tattoos, and I'm nodding my head, listening, really listening. But with my spirit voice, I'm saying, Lord, do you have something for her? Do you want me to, what do you want me to tell her? He said, ask her who I am. He said, so I asked her, I said, who is Jesus to you? She said, well, I don't know. Maybe a prophet or God or, you know, the Son of God or something. So I had the Lord's leading on what question to ask her. Again, prophetic evangelism. We don't want people to have just a random word about God. We want a word from God. Amen? That makes sense? Okay. Back to your sheet here, and we got a little bit of time yet. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the fear of rejection. Okay, and then next week we're going to talk about dealing with cults, other religions, you know, and a little bit of what I call pop apologetics. Not apologizing, that's kind of a funny word. The Greek word apologetica is... it means to defend, okay? So I'm going to talk a little bit about fear. How many of you would be honest and say, I struggle with fear of rejection, fear of failure, okay? Yeah, right. So how do we deal with the fact that, okay, I want to witness, I want to share my faith, but I don't know what to do, what keeps me quiet? Turn to 1 Samuel 15. Now, I don't have a lot with me this week, but I have some CDs. I wrote a book on rejection, exposing rejection. I've been teaching that around the country for the last 6 months. We just did it this weekend. We did another conference on healing from rejection. But rejection and the fear of rejection is obviously, we all know, the main thing that keeps us from ministry, right? Okay. And there's no magic wand that can wave over you as an individual tonight to necessarily defeat that, but I want to give you some nuggets and some thoughts, okay? So, is it Cindy? Is that right? Sherry. Okay. So, let's say Sherry wants to, let's say I work with her, and she just feels the Lord wants to, you know, share with me. From the moment you decide, okay, I'm going to witness to this person, as soon as you decide that, you will begin to get visions, words, scenarios will be up full color in your mind or heart of bad things that are going to happen. So, the first thing to know is, if you purpose in your heart that you're going to witness, fear will begin to show you a bad consequence. It could be getting fired, never asked back to Thanksgiving dinner with the family again, which some of you may like a lot. You think, great, this is a good way to not have to go to Thanksgiving dinner with my family. Great, you know, depending on your in-laws. But there will be all kinds of, as they say, the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing as real. There will be false scenarios that the enemy will give you, and your own fears will work up in your heart, and you'll see bad things. 90% of those, if not 99%, never happen. So know up front, when you purpose to, in your heart to share your faith with people, you will have fear scenarios take place. Probably not going to happen. Okay. Now, that's all nice for me to say. Oh, good, easy for you to say, Anthony. You're not the one with the fear in your heart, you know. Well, I've had those scenarios, and I've had to work through them. When I would, when I first started doing ministry, we would do open-air street preaching, and we would preach on college campuses. And I'd travel all over the world. I went to about 36 different countries planting churches on college campuses. So we would get up, and we would preach, just begin to have church out on the campus, and people, we'd have huge crowds come up. It was awesome. But every time I would get up, right before I would speak, I call it the veil of fear. I was scared. I was nervous, and I think, I got nothing to say. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know, I know all these scriptures. I don't know what to say. So it's sort of like I would think of it as walking through a veil of fear, like a thin line of, like a bubble or a, you know, just I had to step through the fear. The way I would step through that and the way you'll step through that is I would open my mouth. And as soon as I did that, what did Jesus promise? The Father will give you words, right? Do not worry about what to say when you're brought before men or when you put yourself before men, right? So the first step to dealing with fear is to realize it's going to be there. You're going to encounter it. And listen, this could be ministering and giving a word at church with people who love you. There's still fear, isn't there? Fear of failure, fear of being rejected. What if I miss it? What if it's not God? Okay? So realize you're going to have to deal with fear. It's going to be there, but it won't kill you. It's always way bigger and way more than reality. Probably 99% not reality. Okay? Number two, okay, as you step through that, the way to deal with that is to begin to open your mouth and give God something to work with. So you might want to walk up, let's say I'm going to, you know, I work with Sherry. The first thing to do, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to witness it, is to walk up and go, hey, Sherry, what'd you do this weekend? I got something out. Whew, we're going, you know. So that right there got me through the veil of fear. And she responds. Yeah, you went to church. Now let's say she doesn't go to church.
Okay,
went to the bar. Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, you're that girl I saw puking out in the front that one night at 2 a.m. when I drove by. Huh? Oh, I remember that. No, I'm just kidding. No. So she says. Now, 99% of the time, what'll happen is, if they're open and they're prepared to the Lord, this is a big sign for me. I look for this. They'll say, "Oh, I did this. This is what did you do?" Okay. If I don't get that, I probably don't really feel like I've got an open door. Because I'm looking for someone that is engaging and open and wanting to exchange. Their heart is open. So they'll typically say, what did you do? Oh, well, we spent about 4 hours casting this demon out of this guy and his head was spinning around. And, no, I'm just kidding. You know, no, I'm, you know, but I'd say, you know, I hung out with the kids and then I went to this church service. It was really awesome. Man, we had such a presence of God there that morning. It was awesome. And the next thing out of my mouth is, by the way, do you ever go to church? Yeah? But you see what I did is she gave me permission by asking about what I did to then tell her about my spiritual life. So I seasoned the conversation with a little bit of, you know, spiritual stuff. Just like John 4. Jesus said, well, if you knew the gift of God and he it is who speaks to you, he'd give you living water. He's kind of feeling out the water here a little bit, testing the water, see how she's doing, how open she is, see? So one of the things you can do to break through the veil of fear is simply open your mouth and begin to ask questions of people. Amen? You rarely ever get hurt. I haven't been punched yet. Been tried, but I missed. And but really, that's the best way to step through that veil of fear. Now, the other thing is if you really struggle with this area, I'd encourage you to get some CDs out there we have on freedom from rejection and stuff. But one of the best things you can do is try to expose the lie that you believed in your heart about your identity, your value, and your purpose. Okay? Rejection always attacks your identity and your value. For women, it's mostly value. And men, it's mostly your purpose. Okay? It always attacks our identity. So rejection is always after your identity, your value, and your purpose. Now, what happened with with Eve, with Cain, who killed his brother, and with King Saul is they had believed a lie about their identity and their value. Okay? And so they fell into the number one trap that keeps us from witnessing, which is the fear of man. Okay? The number one thing that keeps us from ministering, and even in our own churches, even in if you have a prayer time up here in the front and you feel you got a word for somebody, but you have the fear of man, meaning the fear of man is, well, let me just back up. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Revere him. Thank you. Obey. Okay. That's excellent. Obey. What else? Respect. Excellent. So, what's that? Right, so that's the part of the fear of rejection, that he'll leave you. So if we fear the Lord, we reverence him, we give him weight, don't we? We value his opinion, don't we? We respect him. So if I fear man, I give him weight, I give him too much value, I give him too much respect, I give him the place of God, I create an idol. If you fear man, you worship man, right? So the fear of man, Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man proves to be a snare. Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man proves to be a snare. Okay? But he who trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. So here I am, I work with Sherry, and I'm walking, and I've just came out of my Sunday night evangelism training, and I'm walking over, and I feel like I've even got a word from God. As I'm walking over there, all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, she could start screaming, call me a Jesus freak, everybody in the office could freak out, and all of a sudden I've got a snare. The fear of man is a snare in my foot, and I'm snared, and I just go, hey, have a nice day, bye. Because that fear of man caught me. It snagged me. It pulled me down. In fact, it's so bad that it disqualified Saul. Why don't you turn to 1 Samuel 15. Look at this verse. And I know you guys know the word. You know the story. Samuel is trying to get Saul to obey, to go down and wipe out the Amalekites. It's God's time for judgment on that nation. And Saul lies to Samuel three times, saying that I did obey the voice of the Lord, which, of course, he didn't. He didn't kill the Amalekites. In fact, he even shows him King Agag and says, here, look, I've got the king back. That's the first guy you kill. But anyway, he blames the people, verse 21. He says, the people took some of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the choicest things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord. And then Samuel gives him that ultimate rebuke where he says to obey in verse 22 there is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fight of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft or divination, and insubordination is iniquity and idolatry. Notice the word idolatry there. Go down to verse 24. Then Saul finally, if you read this whole passage, finally says to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words. Well, why did he do this? Look at this. Because I feared the people and listened to their voice. And as I teach on our seminar on rejection, the fear of man, which came out of rejection in Saul's heart, disqualified him from being king. Because David sins way worse than Saul does. David had 70,000 people die one day just because he wanted to number the armies of Israel. David commits murder, planned, premeditated murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. I mean, David sinned way worse. But Saul couldn't be trusted because he had the fear of man in his heart. Okay, it was an idol. It kept him, and it would never allow him. If you aspire to leadership in any way in your life, you have to deal with the fear of man and the root of rejection in your heart, because that will cause you to not lead. It will cause you to lead according to what people say. It will cause you to fear man, want their opinion, and value their opinion more than the word of the Lord. That's what will keep you from effective evangelism. The word of the Lord is, Philip, go up to this chariot and witness to this eunuch. Yeah, but if I do, now he's the big kahuna in Candace's court. I could get in a lot of trouble if he doesn't like what I got to say. But Philip didn't struggle with that. He had no fear of man. He absolutely obeyed the Lord. The guy was open to get saved. Probably brought the gospel to Africa. Amen? So I want you to be aware of the fear of man. and the reverence of man and worrying about them liking you. Okay. Now, there's a balance. I'm not saying you're supposed to be obnoxious, offend everybody. You want to be smart at work like our brother back here. I mean, you know, you don't want to push it, but you've got an open door with that guy, and you know, can follow up. So, yeah, there's wisdom at work. I have a whole deal on work and evangelism. But I want you to be aware of the fact that there's a radical balance between being pushy and obnoxious and having the fear of man, which closes your mouth and never lets you say a word. Yeah, Carrie, go ahead. Did you? Right, say it real loud. Yep.
And so the phrase was, you're allowing that person to have power over you. And so that really has really helped me in why I'm overcoming it. But it's not allowing them to have power over you, but letting the Lord have power.
Exactly. It is true. You're letting them dictate your life. Now, but so how do we deal with rejection? What you have to find out in your life, and this can be done at home. I would highly encourage you to read our book. Many of you bought the book on rejection. Most of you have a lie you've believed about your value and your identity, which is less than what the Bible says about you. Now, for me, what I believed, because I had been molested by my mother and had an alcoholic home life and just a pretty bad home life, I believed, the foundational lie for my life was this, that I'm alone and on my own, and that when I'm alone, bad things happen. So I had no sense of Father God, my dad, you know, like when you're a young guy and you're trying to beat up the neighbor kids, you want dad to say, hey, you messing with my kid? Yeah, you know, and I say, hey, you know, see my dad behind me? He's got my back, man. But I didn't have that sense at all. So when I would try to do ministry early on, I had no sense of God's backing me up. I thought I'm on my own, see? But now, of course, that's changed. Now I know that the Father is with me, he's beside me, he's in me, he's on me, he's with me. And so I have a sense that whatever, if someone blows up, calls me a Jesus freak, is just yelling at me, you rotten Christians, blah, 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 blah. The Father's sitting there going, good job, son, man, you're doing, he's pleased with me. He's honored that we're preaching the gospel. You know, he's just rooting for me. He's behind me saying, good job, well done. You know, yeah, they're not going to all receive, you know, but the problem, of course, we think, see, one of the signs of rejection is you take things personally. That's one of the key marks of rejection. Spirit of rejection. That's how it works. And Jesus said, he who rejects you rejects his sender who sends you. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the what? The message. They're rejecting Jesus. But, oh, it's not that easy to think that way unless you really think about this and say, wait a minute. If I'm taking this personally, there's a spirit of rejection trying to work in my life. Just command that thing to leave. Spend time with the Lord. And again, I'm just giving you the pop 30-second way to answer this. But really get in the Word of God and begin to say, Lord, what is it in me that fears man? What lie have I believed about my life that makes me value humans' opinion more than your opinion? And you'll find somewhere in your childhood or as your years past, you would have believed that your identity is less than a son of God. Most people have an identity as a worker for God, an employee, a slave, someone that can be fired, that if you screw up, God's going to be away from you, as you know, Steve said. So most of us still can deal with that slave mentality versus a son. A son can never be kicked out of the family. Son's always there. Son is always favored. Amen? Most of us believe that our value comes from our performance. That's what a slave mentality. See, why would, just think about this. Jesus spent 3.5 years with young men who ate with them, slept with them, drank with them, did miracles with them. He turns to them in John 15:15, and he said, I no longer call you servants. Why would he have to do that? He addressed that because he knew they came from the Old Testament under the law system of working for God, of possibly getting fired kind of thing, possibly losing God's favor. And Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. They had a servant or a slave mentality. He said, I call you friends. Paul then moves to the full revelation, as he said, the fullness of the mystery of the gospel, and said, we are all sons through faith in Jesus Christ. Because sonship is where we want to get to, right? Remember I said the Lord gave me two words for this season, sonship and authority? Remember that last week? Some of you weren't here. That's the word of the Lord I have in my heart for this season that we're in as a body of Christ, is understanding sonship, which will then lead to tremendous authority. Okay? And then, of course, identity value, my value is performance. Then my purpose in life is to obey. But as a a New Testament believer, my purpose in life is not to obey. My purpose in life is to enjoy being a son. Right? What's that? I don't know. Maybe Pastor Dave, you know, I don't know if it's a Westminster Catechism, but it says the chief purpose of man is to know God and enjoy him forever. You ever heard that? Yeah, I think it's out of the Westminster Cathedral or something like that. But it says that the chief purpose of man, you know who John Piper is? Anybody know who John Piper is? You're a tremendous Baptist author, you know, down at Bethlehem Baptist. And he's written a book about, you know, enjoying God, the pleasure of God. And he talks about the chief duty of man is to know God and enjoy him forever. So my purpose in life is not to be a better Christian. Not to get up in the morning and see how good I can perform and how well I do in evangelism and who I lead to. That's not my purpose in life. My purpose in life is to enjoy being a son. And out of that will flow telling people the good news, praying for the sick, casting out demons, encouraging people, loving people. It's a natural outflow of being a son. Amen? It's very easy in evangelism to feel like you're afraid of screwing up. What if I don't have the right words? What if they ask me a hard question? What if? You don't have to worry about that when all you are is a son just telling them who the Father is. You see? If you have that mentality, you will have a lot less trouble fearing failure. Amen? Okay. A lot of other good stuff on here. I want you to read through your sheets. Okay? Now, the fear of man and the fear of failure may not necessarily go overnight. Here's what another thing I want to encourage you in. As you do more witnessing, you realize, hey, they're not going to kill me. I'm going to survive this. It's going to be okay. So practice does make perfect. You're going to come away from witnessing situations thinking, man, that was great. That was awesome. Occasionally, you'll have someone who just wants to yell and argue, but that's very rare. Today in America, people are so open. I can't believe it. Really, do you guys believe that? The enemy will tell you they're not open. They are so open, especially young people. So open to the gospel, okay? They don't know what to believe. It's kind of like communist China. They wiped out all religious stuff there, so they're a blank slate. Kids today, I pulled up to a church the other day, and I'm unloading my stuff to do an evangelism seminar. There's a guy sitting in the car, smoking a heater, and he had the window down, I just said hi or something. He goes, oh, what do you guys got going on here today? I said, oh, we're doing an evangelism seminar. He goes, oh, what's that? I go, we're going to tell people about Jesus. He said, I'm not making this up. He said, who is Jesus? Right over here in Brooklyn Park, you guys. It's not like I was in, you know, Botswana here. He'd never heard of Jesus. You know, I don't know. He was sincere. I gave him a track. I mean, I had to get inside to preach, but, you know. Gave him, you know, phone number, said, here, call me, whatever, you know. But he's like, who's Jesus? Okay. I mean, I don't know. You know, 10, 20 years from now, you know, they're going to, who knows what they're going to be, where people will be at. So I just want to encourage you. People are open. He didn't want to argue with me. He wasn't combative. He just didn't know. I mean, we could have had a great conversation. Amen? Okay. What's that? I didn't drop my agenda. Oh, you caught me. See, that's good. No, I didn't drop my agenda. I wanted to. But I had to, you have to balance sometimes between, No, that's good, though. That's good. Keep me sharp. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 I want to just take a minute and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. There's kind of two things on his mind right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There's an anointing here to really deal with fear tonight. It's just the presence of the Lord to break yokes. Not sure what we're going to do exactly next week. I have some idea. But before we get into that, I want to take like about 4 minutes. And I want you to, over anything you've heard the last couple, 3 weeks here, any questions you have about anything that I've taught before we move into a time of prayer, anything at all, just feel free because, like I said, after next week, I'm gone. So, yes, ma'am.
by the time I...
How do you slow yourself down? So I'm not sure what you mean yet. So
well,
keep going.
I was coming out of a grocery store or an aisle, and there was a woman right there, and he was like downloading me information and his heart for this woman. But by that time, I walk faster than I think or stop. So like, what do you do? Do you just like... I felt like if I stopped right in front of her while I was trying to absorb what he's downloading, that would have been awkward too. So I found myself walking past the woman, and now sometimes he does have me kind of do a roundabout, but I didn't in that case. Does that happen to you where you get further in place and then all of a sudden it's just like, go back to that person?
Yes, I'll walk by somebody. You know, my radar's kind of up and I'll get a little download. The Lord will start talking to me or I'll just know maybe a word of knowledge. But I kind of doing my own agenda thing, so I'm kind of scooting by. And then I'm like, no, he's still talking to me. Okay, all right. You know, and then we go back and we go, okay. Now, you know what? More often, what really bothers me as I've done this is I've listened, and I analyzed because I'm an analyzer, and I turn around and they're gone. That's what's really grieving. I'll never forget, I was at walking by a bus stop, and I had my briefcase like I always carry, and I always have a bunch of tracks in my briefcase. And I saw this guy, and the Lord said, I want you to give him a track. I said, okay, so I stopped, and I'm digging through all my tracks, figuring out what's the best track to give him. And I'm going there, not there. He was gone. You know, he who hesitates, in this case, helps the one who's lost, you know, or doesn't help the lost. But, you know, yeah, so I just think if you're getting a download by someone you work with or someone you get around or a stranger you walk by, as soon as I get the slightest download, I don't try to wait and get the rest of it now. I just say, I got something. Because here's what I've learned about the gift of prophecy, and that is, it's not going away. When I used to first prophesy a lot, I'd get this prophecy, I'd hear the Lord speaking to me, and I'd go, okay, I got to do it now. And, you know, the pastor's freaking out because I'm raising my hand, and I'm like, pastor, I got a word, you know. And of course, they all were more seasoned than me. I was a young kid. And then I realized one day that they don't go away. If he drops something in your spirit, you know, he doesn't go, okay, now you got 30 minutes, Anthony, or I'm taking the sucker. It's not working that way. So if he wants you to talk to somebody or give a word, it's going to be there. I mean, I've got words I've been sitting on for people for years. I'd see him every so often. I'd be like, now, Lord? He goes, nope, not yet. I'm like, okay. You know? And so as soon as I get any inkling that I've got a pull towards somebody and I'm supposed to witness it to him, I'm right there. And then I just get closer to him. I'm like, yep, still going. It's kind of like, dee, 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 you know, versus the signal's like, dee, dee. You know, so I just test it out. If it's a stranger, like at Walmart or Cub Foods, whatever, and I just get by him and try to do a little eye contact, you know, and then I'll just do like, hey, how you doing? Just to feel out, make sure I'm, but a lot of times now, instead of just doing that, I'll say, Lord, do you want me to witness to him? Yes. Why do you, remember second question? Why? Because I want to know who's talking. Because see, the devil would love to get you to talk to somebody who wants to argue with you and discourage you in your evangelism, especially the next few weeks here when you're all hot to trot about this. So be aware. So when you feel like, okay, yeah, Lord, you want me to witness, and you're here. Remember my original testimony, how God began to teach me how to hear his voice? And I was praying about going to India, and I heard, you know, no. And I said, why don't you want me to go to India? And I heard it, because I hate you. Okay, because the devil, he just exposes himself. You back him in a corner, the gig's up, right? So I always ask, why do you want me to witness to that person to make sure that it's the Holy Spirit, that it's the Lord? He's not offended. How dare you ask me that? Go and do what I tell you. No, he's not offended by that. You can ask him. You can ask him two or three, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure, God? I'm really scared. You can tell him that. He kind of knows already, actually. So. Yeah. So you can say, Lord, I'm really scared. Are you sure? Yes. Lord, what do you want me to say? Tell him I love him. Are you sure? You know, so yes, ma'am. Okay. I don't think you need a microphone.
I have a loudspeaker.
Yep. Oh, yeah, on tape. Yep.
Well, we were in a nursing home, and we had somebody like yourself teaching us how we go into nursing homes, make sure you're being led by the Spirit. Mm. If they say no, go on to the next because of HIPAA laws and whatever. So anyways, I was with another team in this league.
They have hippos in nursing homes?
The HIPAA
I'm
Act.
Kidding. That was a joke.
Okay, but anyways, I was with two other people. They looked into this room. This woman was hooked up to tubes. I was taught their spirit still can hear.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm like, Lord, are you sure? Because I don't want to get in trouble from the nursing staff. And so I had a prompt. I went in. I said, If you can hear me, squeeze your hand, squeeze my hand or blink your eyes. She could hear me. Do you want to receive Christ? She did that. To make a long story short, she received Jesus. I thought we were done. He led me over to her closet. I'm like, Lord, I'm not a nosy person. What are you trying to have me see here? Well, she was a young woman. And I said, do you want us to pray for healing for her? I said, I got to be sure. I said, because my leader said, you cannot touch people. Like, if they're hooked up, I mean, you get busted, you're going to wreck the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
I get out of the room. He comes upstairs. We go in there, and we start praying in tongues, and the power of God came on her. She flipped like a fish being electrocuted. Now, did we see a full manifestation of a healing? No. But like you said, he'll let you know. Because he wants you to be sure.
Yep, yep. And it's good to, so she asked, Lord, are you sure you want, I mean, you know, that's okay.
Like more than one time.
Yeah, that's all right. It's good. Because more than anything, he wants you to practice hearing his voice. And so she saw a manifestation. So, so the fruit of what she heard, remember, fruit, character, and motive, it was good fruit. Obviously, she was touched. We don't know about a manifestation. Maybe she did get healed. I don't know. But
I'm sure she did. I
mean, yeah.
We just went on.
But flipping around like a fish ain't bad. That's a good start. Right? Okay. Any other questions? I guess one more minute. Yes, question.
How do you handle when you pick up people's emotions and when you're sitting by them and they want to sleep and then you're picking all this up? How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, in a witnessing scenario, if you're sensing they're sad or whatever, I would just turn to them and say, hey, I know this might sound a little strange, but I just was sensing you're sad. Remember questions. Is that true? And then see where you go.
Okay, but then also, let's say you're in a room of setting, and you're picking all these emotions up, and what do you do with it? How can you?
So when you're in a room, you pick up different people's emotions?
Yeah.
Okay, like everybody, or?
Well, one time I went to a conference, and it was basically being taught of doing the standing up, and I'm picking all the stuff up, and it was just, thinking it was myself, because I know that's been, okay.
Right.
Anyway, I walked out of the building, and it all left.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
Yeah, as far as picking up people's emotions, I would really. Yeah, I would ask the Lord about that because I'm not. You want to be careful. I'm not saying this isn't the Lord, but I'm just saying you want to be careful that's your mechanism for picking up things because normally He's going to speak to us. I mean, you can be sensitive to their emotion, but if you're kind of going over to that area, almost like an empath or into a realm of just being a sensor only, number one, it'll wear you out completely, number one. Number two, I don't know, biblically, that's the primary motive I want to relate to people or have the leading of the Holy Spirit all the time. I mean, if it happens once in a while and it produces fruit of winning them to the Lord or getting them ministered to, okay. But just hearing that, Millie, I would just be a little bit like, I would ask the Lord, do you really want me to be sensing this much this often with this many people? Just see what He says about that. It may be something that's a little bit, No, I'm not.
Well, again, too, if I'm in the room, for example, I could be picking up for fear.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I've noticed something. So then how do I deal with that? You could ask me.
Well, I would ask the Holy Spirit. I would ask the Lord.
Okay.
And say, Lord.
Just to pray myself and pray.
Well, see, here, remember last week I gave you a little formula, and I've used this in our prophetic seminar a lot. If you get, quote, unquote, revelation, sensing, hearing, seeing a vision. Remember the three questions? Who knows the three questions? Remember the three questions, anybody? Is this for me or someone else? Don't assume. Is it for now or later? Is it public or private? So let's say I get a download or I sense. Okay, you might say, Lord, is this for me? You want me to deal with fear? Or is it for her? In other words, is this you, God? And what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to just pray for her? Okay. But I would ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I'm sensing stuff around people in the room here. Is this you? Holy Spirit, is this you? Or is this something that's not from God? I would ask that question. Okay. Anybody else? Real quick. We got to be done. One back here. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's for the tape.
Okay. So, like, I had this experience this week where somebody brought up the conversation. What's the word? Encountered you. I can't think of it. Engaged with you,
yes.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking, and it got to God really fast. But then it was almost like she, I don't know how to explain it. It was almost like an argument, but we were totally friendly and nice, so it wasn't like mean or anything.
But she had a very negative view.
She just had, it was almost like a twisted view of what, like she didn't believe, she thought that this was the only life and that there's nothing after life. And so I tried to bring up, you know, heaven and hell and talk to her and try to throw in the gospel a little bit, and she just wasn't there. And so then I just blessed her. And I really felt like that blessing was coming from God. Mm-hmm. And then she got a little teary-eyed. But what do you do when they don't agree,
yeah.
I guess?
No, that's a really good point. Because unless you're pretty fairly skilled in apologetics, it can just be a long, unfruitful argument. Number one thing, somebody says something, whatever they say, I don't believe in God. This is the one that stumps most people in evangelism. They'll say these two things. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the Bible. And you're like, well, but I wanted to quote scripture to you. Yeah, but I don't believe in the Bible. Well, somebody says, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. The next question out of your mouth should be, why? Why? Why don't you believe in God? Well, I just don't. Well, I'm just curious, what led you to that conclusion? I don't believe in the Bible. First thing out of your mouth, someone says, I don't believe in the Bible. Ask him, have you read it? And just be quiet. The biggest mistake we make is we preach at people. We talk at them. The most effective salespeople ask questions and let the customer, there's a saying in sales training called, we want to find their hot button. We want to find out what their need is. What's their need? You do propane sales, right? Or financial advising. Okay. So you want to find out what's their need. So you're not going to find out their need by telling them all about 401ks. Or, you know, how to deal with Social Security when they're, you know, you're going to say, now, what's your goal? First thing out of your mouth, right? You want to know that person. Well, what do you believe about God? I asked that girl at Walgreens last night. I said, well, who is Jesus to you? I want to know what they believe and why they believe it. Otherwise, I'm just going to preach forever and ever and ever at them. And who knows if I'll ever address their need. Okay? Remember the kid at the mall? We're talking to him. He said he's an atheist, kind of cocky young guy. His name is Brandon. Lord bless Brandon in Jesus' name. And he said, I'm an atheist. And so I stepped back and I heard the word mother. I turned back in the conversation. I said, tell me about your mother. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. And I said, she died of cancer, didn't she? The Lord gave me a word of knowledge. He goes, yeah, how did you know that? And I said, well, God told me. He said this. He said, well, I prayed for her and I was a Christian and she died anyway. He was very angry. So it wasn't that he couldn't believe, it's that his heart was broken. By the way, most atheists I meet, it's because they've had a broken heart. It's not an intellectual problem at all. It's they've got a broken heart. They've been disappointed. Probably your friend has had some negative experiences, been hurt, been wounded. Okay? But I wanted to know. So now I knew. The Lord gave me a word, or I can just ask him, why are you an atheist? See, I want to know what they believe. And then once they tell you, well, you know, my mom died of cancer. And, you know, God didn't answer my prayer. I said, oh, okay, well, we can talk about that. You see? But you've got to ask questions, beloved. Don't just preach at them. And I know you guys won't. You guys are sensitive. You're good. You're sharp people. But just to remind you, asking questions. You know, when people, I remember Randy Clark, I was with him at a seminar years ago, and people were coming up, and he would do what Jesus did. Remember Mark chapter 9? They brought the kid that was throwing himself in the fire and everything, in the water. And Jesus said, I mean, it's just the guy's flopping around like a fish, you know. And he says, how long has this been happening? He's interviewing him. He's asking questions. And then a crowd was gathering and said, okay, I got to deal with this. And he rebukes a deaf and dumb spirit, which I don't know how you go from a deaf and dumb spirit to a kid with epilepsy, but, you know, God knew, right? So asking questions is huge. That's what he did with the Pharisees all the time. They're trying to argue with them. He'd ask him a question. Let me ask you, John's baptism, was that from men or from God? Right? So he's asking questions all the time. He's getting them to refute their own arguments, usually is what happens. So, okay. All right, what I would like to do is I would like to, next week we will talk more about kind of answering, you know, tough questions, how to deal with objections. But I want you to write down this week, I want you to write down your number one struggle in evangelism and or hearing from God, because we're dealing with prophetic evangelism. So I want you to write down tomorrow, tonight, whatever, say, you know, this is my number one struggle with hearing from God, and this is my number one struggle in evangelism. Having done this for many, many years, I'm guessing your number one struggle is fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of not having answers, okay? And we'll talk about that next week. But also, you know, the other struggle you would have is, I think this is God leading me, but maybe it's just me, my own thoughts, which I've tried to address. What I would like to do tonight, and I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this yet. I'm really not sure here. There's an interesting anointing hovering right over the congregation right now. So what I want to do is I want to, okay, that's good, Lord. All right, so I want to address fear. And I want to address maybe rejection a little bit. And I want to address a foundational fear or lie in your life. And I want you to think about, I want you to say this with me. Okay, now, oh, ooh, that's a little boomier. All right. The number, probably for most of you, the number one attack, if someone rejects your sharing the gospel with them, is it's going to attack your value or what you would call in a small town area, your reputation. Okay? You want people to like you. You don't want to be offensive. You don't want people to say bad things about you. You want to be liked. Anybody here not want to be liked? We do, we'll pray for that. It's natural, okay? But I believe, I want to wait on the Lord here for a little bit. I just want to wait on the Lord, and I'm going to lead you in some questions to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to expose the crack in your foundation, the lie that you would have believed about yourself, okay? So that when the fear of rejection comes, you can go, aha, I know that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just take some time. Just wait on the Lord right now. Just put your Bibles down. Put your notes down and everything. Just sit before the Lord here. Hallelujah. If you have any music you want to put on the background, just very light music, that'd be great. And just sit before the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord Jesus, just say it quietly to him. You don't have to say it aloud. Say, Lord Jesus, show me where. Take me back to any situation. It could be last week. It could be 30 years ago. Show me where I may have believed a lie about myself that is causing the fear of man in my life. Just ask him that question. For many of you, it's when you're a young child. Where somebody said something to you, hurtful, traumatized you. So say, Lord, take me back to that lie, that situation. Maybe a parent yelled at you, called you a name, a coach, a teacher. You turn that down a little bit, maybe. You may get a vision, you may hear a sentence or a phrase that somebody said something to you, but there would have been a wounding or a traumatizing, and the enemy would have come in and spoken a lie to you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just let the Lord take you back. It usually will have been an opening to fear in your life, a sense of not being covered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if you come to that, and the Lord has to show you, this is his leading here. As you come to that, maybe you see the trauma, you remember the memory. Many times it's something a father would have done, maybe a mother. And you remember the hurtful words and that you believed, you agreed with them. That maybe they said, how come you always, or you never, you're going to be, you're such a name calling or whatever. As you're in that moment, I want you to do this. I want you to say, Jesus, is this true about me? Ask the Holy Spirit. And I want you to say, Jesus, I want you to speak truth to me right now. Jesus, speak the truth to me, Lord. tell me what you think about me. Speak to my heart, Lord. You can hear his voice. It's where you would have believed a lie that opened up the door of fear, of not being covered, not being affirmed, of being alone or on your own, and for many of you, that you don't have value. You're just something. You don't have value. And so now today, you want other people to give you value. It's called the fear of man. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you just ask the Lord, Lord, speak truth to me, Lord. Speak truth to me. Is that what you think about me? And as you're doing this, I want you to say a prayer with me quietly to yourself. You can say it out loud if you want. And I want you to just say, in the name of Jesus, I fall out of agreement with the lie, and then speak the lie out. For me, it was that I'm alone and I don't matter. I fall out of agreement with the lie, and I command the demon that came with that lie to leave me now. Say that to yourself. Just say that to the Lord and to the enemy. Say, I command that spirit of, could be fear, could be a spirit of rejection. In fact, let's do this together. Say, I command the spirit of fear to leave me now. In Jesus' name, I fall out of agreement with the lie that was spoken to me, you know when, in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of rejection to leave me now. Somebody's getting people getting set free. Spirit of rejection, leave me now in Jesus' name. I command, just say this with me, I command the spirit of the fear of rejection to leave me now. I know who you are. I know how you've operated in my life. You've caused me to fear man. But I renounce you. And I renounce the fear of man. In Jesus' name. I do not fear men. Nor their opinions of me. But I fear the Lord. In Jesus' name. I want you to say, I renounce and fall out of agreement with the spirit of fear of failure. I give myself permission to make mistakes, to miss it. I'm free to fail. I'm free to miss it. Because in God, in Christ, there is no failure. I am sealed in Him. In Jesus' name. Now I want to do something that the Lord has given me to do. And I want you to keep your eyes closed. And I want you to use the eyes of your heart. Ephesians 1:18, Paul said the eyes of your heart. Many of you have never really had the affirmation of your father. And you struggle because of that with the fear of rejection, with rejection. And again, this is a whole seminar teaching, but I want to do one more thing before we go tonight. And the Lord did this with me, and He's telling me to do this again tonight. I want you to just, if you can, with the eyes of your heart, just see the Lord standing near you, by you, whatever, if you can. If you can't, no big deal. But if you see the Lord in front of you or near you, that's great. And I want you to, I use the phrase, the stamp of seal of approval. And the Lord showed me tonight a gold seal, about the size of my hand, a golden seal that He has in His hand, and He's going to lay His hand right on your chest right now. I just want you to see the Lord. He's laying His hand on your chest, right over your heart, and He's sealing your heart, and He's saying, this one is mine. I affirm you
This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now remember, ladies, sonship is not a gender issue. It's a positional issue. And let the Lord right now, just let him come and lay his hands in your heart. Maybe you can put your heart in, hand in your heart with him. He's going to put his hand in your heart and just receive the stamp of the seal of approval. Let him seal you as his, and say, this one is mine. I seal him. I seal her. Precious in my sight. This one can never fail. This one is perfect in my sight. Let him seal you with that stamp of seal of approval, that golden seal, and it's going to melt right into your heart. It's going to be a seal that's on there, but it's going to melt right on your heart. It's going to just come inside your skin, into your heart, and he's sealing you right now. I just see the Father just walking through the aisles, and he's so pleased. He's smiling. He's so pleased, and he's kissing some of you on your forehead. I don't know. I've never seen this before, but just a kiss on the forehead is just an affirmation. He's just sealing your heart. Just let him seal your heart. And let him speak to you right now. The Lord's wanting to speak right now, so I'm going to be quiet. Let him speak. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to use the eyes of your heart to see him. And I want you to see if you can see the face of the Lord, to see his eyes and his smile. And listen to him. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're having trouble seeing the Lord's face and you want to see him, maybe you can see his chest or his beard, I want you to just say, in the name of Jesus, I command the fear of rejection of the Father to leave me. Just say, just command that rejection of the Father to leave you. Susan and I have found over the years that when people have trouble seeing the Lord's face, it's a deep father wound. Thank you, God. Lord, we want to see your face. Thank you, God. Your face shine upon us, Lord. Give us your peace. Some of you, I see the Lord giving you a hug. He's actually embracing you. He's actually embracing you right now. He's putting his arms around you. Some of you, that's a little bit awkward for you as far as embracing. Let him embrace you, and I want you to reach out and give him a hug as well. And with your eyes closed, I'm going to read something to you tonight. Mark 10:13, and they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. So that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Now listen to this very carefully. And he took them into his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. He took them into his arms. He didn't just reach out his hand and lay his hand on them. He took them into his arms. I want you to let Jesus take you into his arms right now. And maybe just lay your head on his chest. And just embrace the Lord. Let him give you a hug. This is not your imagination. This is just seeing in the Spirit. Father, Father, Father. Oh, Father. Let the Father give you a hug. Let your Father embrace you and affirm you. just love you, Jesus. We receive from you right now. We receive the seal of approval, of affirmation, that we can never let you down anymore. We're not going to disappoint our Father. He's not going to find fault with us anymore, because Jesus satisfied him. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just practice receiving right now. Just command all fear to go. I take authority over every spirit of fear, fear of intimacy, fear of rejection. Some of you, I hear kind of a yeah, but. I command the spirit of worthlessness to leave, religion to leave now, in Jesus' name. Spirit of rejection must leave. Every orphan spirit must leave now. I command you to go. And just right now we receive the robe of adoption as sons, just like the prodigal came back. He was robed, the finger had a ring on it, the sandals on his feet. Right now, I just want you to receive, see the Father wrapping a family robe around you with the family insignia, the cross on it, the family crest. He's wrapping your robe. He says, I'm covering you. I'm covering you. I got your back. I got your side. I got your front. I'm covering you. I'm wrapping you in the robe of acceptance and righteousness. And just like the son that came back, he's kissing you, embracing you, weeping. He ran towards you. He's running towards you. You can leave here tonight knowing that you're free to make mistakes, free to miss it, and you'll never lose the Father's love. He will never, ever, ever be distant or remove himself from you because you didn't perform well. He will never remove or be distant. He will never distance himself from you if you don't perform well, because Jesus has taken care of the performance issue. He has performed perfectly for the Father, so you don't have to. Praise you, Jesus. No fear of failure. No fear of rejection. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, I ask you to bless these, your daughters and sons, Lord. We ask you to bless our trip home, to help us to be mindful as we go about our week, to look around. We thank you for divine appointments this week. We thank you that the same presence, I just hear the word, it's like the same, I hear the word satisfaction. I'm not sure what. Oh, he said that he's satisfied with you and you can be satisfied with him always. But there's a presence here that we can carry with us all week. And Lord, we just ask you that as we go about our week, we'd be sensitive to divine appointments around us. We'd be quick to share the gospel with others, to pray for others, Lord. And Lord, we can come back here next week with awesome testimonies of your grace being poured out to those around us, Lord God. I just thank you for the word of knowledge to be released right now. In fact, I feel, just lift your hands up real quick and just receive the word of knowledge. Lord, I'm just asking you, Father, that the word of knowledge, Lord, on the head of each row, the word of knowledge be released. The word of knowledge to go down this row, Lord God. The word, the gift of the word of knowledge to be released in Jesus' name. The gift of the word of knowledge to be released in Jesus' name. Lord, release. Jesus' name, the gift of the word of knowledge in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, word of knowledge, Lord God. Word of knowledge, come, just fall on them like a blanket, Lord. The word of, boy, I can just see it coming. The word of knowledge, hallelujah. Word of knowledge is being released in Jesus' name. Word of knowledge, whew, that's strong. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Word of knowledge, Lord, to come forward. Come forward in Jesus' name. The word of knowledge to come forward. The word of knowledge to go forward in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. They can know what you know. In Jesus' name, they can hear your voice. Thank you for the gift of the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. It's almost like I see snow falling on you. It's really amazing, like a golden snow. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of knowledge, Lord God. They can know what you know. There's also a lot of joy being released right now. They can know what you know, Lord God, the word of knowledge. just to flow, Lord God, just to flow, just to flow in Jesus' name, the flow of the word of knowledge. Phew! Gifts of healing are coming forward too. You're going to have words of knowledge about people's diseases and body parts. Thank you, Lord God. Word of knowledge to flow on every one of these precious girls right now. In Jesus' name, word of knowledge flow, word of knowledge flow, word of knowledge flow in Jesus' name. Ooh, now it's like a river in here. It's even getting deeper. Word of knowledge to flow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew, gift of healing is really strong in you, sister. Gift of healing is really strong. Thank you for healing, anointing, man. Hallelujah. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'll just let you soak and simmer and cook in Jesus' name, and I'm going to go out by the book table or whatever. Hallelujah. See you. Oh, we got to do an offering. I forgot. I do that all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Susie. Okay. Well, we have to do some business. Otherwise, my wife will get very upset. We're not feeding the kids. So I like to joke that all these funds go to some poor, starving children. Mine.
Wow. Yeah, this is good. Isn't it good? Presence of the Lord, I tell you, when it's about Jesus. Just about Jesus. A couple of things. The ladder, next Saturday night, just two glorious hours of worshiping Jesus. Just nothing but worship. Next Saturday night, community. That starts at 7 o'clock. And it's, again, it's a community thing. People from all over the place come. Alan Ross coming a couple of weeks, mark that. There's an email sign up in the back on the table for you to sign up. We are going to receive an offering. There's also something else. Just please indulge us. I know we're running over. But Carrie Beaudry had a word last week that she emailed me. We read it in our service this morning. But it ties the glory. You know, we love the glory. We love the presence. But it ties directly the glory into God's desire for souls. And it's what this class is about. In fact, she had a vision this morning, too, of bundles of wheat being laid. And the interpretation was that the Lord is bringing the harvest to us. And I don't think it's about bringing the harvest into the house. You know, people don't got to come here to get saved. You know, you lead people to Jesus where you're at. I am anti come to church to get saved. If people come here and they get saved, awesome. But I tell you what, there's more in the body of Christ leading to, you know, just through relationship, just through love. And so we encourage that. Carrie, do you want to come up? Ushers, come on up. Father, bless God. Lord, thank you for the impartation tonight. God, there is a very significant release of anointing, and it's an anointing that breaks yokes of bondage. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, as we give tonight, Lord, we just want to give out of a heart of gratitude. Bless each one. And you can just listen as Carrie reads this.
Okay.
You can hold it.
Can I? Okay.
Yeah, that's Anthony's rule. That's Anthony's rule. That's not my rule.
Well, anyway, after Roy had got up and shared about the glory coming, the glory cloud coming, I don't remember what he all said, but my spirit was stirred, obviously, after that. And during the worship, I was singing and declaring. I just was coming out of my spirit, glory, glory, glory. I declare your glory, Lord. Your glory come. Your glory come. Your kingdom come. And so I was just, you know, worshiping the Lord. And then I heard God start speaking to me, and he said, didn't I tell you, you must declare my glory? Look up, for your redemption draws near. Look and see, the harvest is white with souls. I will release my glory for the release of souls. Souls, souls, souls are hanging in the balance. Look up and see, look up and see. The sower and the reaper will rejoice together. My presence released for souls to be saved. My glory released for souls to be healed. My glory released for souls to be set free. Redemption, healing, freedom in my presence, I heard. Oh, glory, glory, glory. It was just like he was just saying all the glory of it, you know. And then the phrase or scripture that came to me, and I hear this often, is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And the two things that God was kind of speaking to me through that, as I pondered what he was saying, and it wasn't anything new to me, but I felt like he was saying the glory of God is manifest presence, you know, revival, what we would call, is for souls. You know, we long to be in his presence, and we want to be his glory carriers, but it was kind of like he was reminding me, you know, this is about souls, you know. And so when we go out, like Annie's saying, or Anthony's saying, and I need to know this, remember this myself, that I'm carrying Jesus, and it's we're his presence carriers, and it's to touch people. And so he's kind of doing a tweak in my brain about it, that the excitement for the lost souls to come into the kingdom because of the glory of God that will be manifest in us and even here in this region, what we're believing for. That's what I'm believing for. And that was one of the purposes for it. And also just was sensing a shift in our worship, that just our worship, our heart worship draws the Lord in his presence. So
why don't you just tell the vision? I massacred the vision that you had about the sheaves being brought.
I started seeing angels coming in the during worship bringing hit. They had bundles of like wheat or, you know, and they were laying them at the altar. And the scripture that came to me, or I just heard this phrase, they bring the sheaves with them. And so I asked Kenny where that was, and he looked it up, and it's in Psalms. And they just it talks about, Psalm 126:5. But the whole psalm is about, we're going to be like those that are dreaming, you know, and it just the release of the joy and the rejoicing and the joy of it, you know, of that. It'll just be, I don't remember what the whole scripture says.
Yeah, that's right. So you are carriers of his glory for the purpose of the harvest, for the purpose of just delighting in him, just in this delightful relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just the overflow of that is an anointing to be a reaper, a sower and a reaper, and we'll rejoice together. Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And next week will be Anthony's last time, at least in this time round, but how many just have appreciated the impartation and the teaching and the passion? Yeah, we do. We bless you, Anthony. Bless you. Thank you for indulging us a little bit later. There might is the Super Bowl over?
No?
I don't know. I don't either. I don't either. Good night. Bless you. We did pass it. Did we miss you? They're in the